Good morning, everyone. It's January 9th, 2013. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Joining me is co-host Pastor Jason Shippo.
Hey,
well, this is our first Wednesday in this new year, because last week you had the Wednesday off, but you joined me for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and I still don't know if anyone came to know the Lord, or hopefully many, if not all of our listeners. I was thinking about our conversation about that resolve to, you know, put Christ first, to follow Him, to be engaged in our relationship with God as, you know, first and foremost, the priority of our life. And I was thinking, you know, I hope that literally every single person that would listen to that broadcast would have made that commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like your heart as a pastor is like when you pray about your message, when you study for it, when you ask God to kind of inspire it, to give you concepts, to then enable you to divide God's word, to really preach it with power and passion and have points of application, that the parishioners, those that attend the church service, will kind of sit there and in a sense hear from God through you. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of your intent, right?
Yeah. The Holy Spirit would convict. The Holy Spirit who guided my words to the paper during the week would then convict there as those words are being given, that those words weren't simply for a sermon, but those words were the leaping off point for a discussion that God wants to have with His people. So,
well, and I was thinking with Friday's broadcast, I mean, clearly we elevate the Lord Jesus Christ to the role He has as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, yet Savior of the world. And we talked about resolve and New Year's resolutions and so forth. And I just was hoping and praying as I was praying beforehand and afterwards, Lord, allow every single I mean, hopefully, because of what we shared, if you missed the program, it is archived, but I was thinking, hopefully everyone who heard that at least probably had the intent or said the prayer, Lord, let that be true for me, that you're first and foremost, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And I just, my kind of prayer was, gosh, I sure hope that everyone tuned in would have prayed that. Now, that would have been my heart, and that was my heart. That's what my intent was. And so I hope that as you listen maybe to some of our conversation today, I don't know, yesterday's broadcast, I said, I don't know what we're going to be talking about today, but we always do pray that something that's shared or said will fortify you in your faith journey, or will maybe challenge you or bring healthy, God-honoring, Spirit-led conviction, conviction that draws you to God, but maybe has you take on new commitments, or maybe you see some flaws or shortcomings or errors of your ways, and you have this conviction where God brings it about, saying you need to change, you need to give up that habit, you need to break that relationship, you need to be daily in my word, whatever it is. We just pray that God would use what's said and shared and the broadcast today to help you.
Yeah, I would say this. I talked about it on Sunday morning, and it's been convicting me, and it's something that I resolved to do this year, which is, it's the three P's of prayer, which is, the first P is to pray. And it's a thing that we often don't do. I mean, how many of us start to pray and the phone rings, or start to pray and the kids run in, or start to pray and then we get sidetracked from that? We need to focus on praying. And then the second...
Well, let me jump in on that, too.
Please.
Because how many times have you gone to a prayer meeting, and there's all this talk, and how your kids, and, you know, suddenly, oh, shoot, we only have 10 more minutes.
We need to pray.
Yeah, so I know all about, like, you know, the intent is to pray, and you do a lot of talking, and nobody gets down to the, you know, down and dirty, if you will, to the praying.
Right, exactly. And the second P is practical. So first P, pray incessantly. Pray without ceasing. The Apostle Paul gives us that instruction in Thessalonians. And then the second one is to practically serve. Take those praying hands, the hands we put together often and pray, and then get them and practically serve somebody. Get out there and bolster that prayer. You know, I thought many times when I have been praying for somebody and trying to pray for somebody, that when I go and I practically serve them, it becomes even easier to pray for them. You find a joy in practically serving them that serves your ability to pray for them. So pray incessantly, practically serve.
And let me just jump in here, because there's a wide range of audience that comes from many faith traditions and backgrounds, and maybe skeptics and people scanning the dial and so forth that are unfamiliar with the concept of prayer. And I know I've shared this many, many times, but I think it bears repeating, and I don't want it to be overly rudimentary, but maybe explain what prayer is, because prayer is not you and I saying we're better than everyone else, we're better than these listeners, they need our prayers. We're not saying we're in touch with God, you're not, you need our prayers. We're not saying that we have a special link to God that you don't quite have yet, so we're going to pray for you. So maybe when you talk about people praying, what is prayer, and what do you mean by that you would pray for somebody?
Yeah, prayer is expansive. For me, there's no definition of prayer. If it's God-honoring, if it honors the God is Lord, God, Savior, and King, then it's a prayer. You know, I pray, Lord, da-da-da-da. I know some people who pray, God, you are awesome. Please help my friend. I know some people who pray with a big liturgy to it. Lord God Almighty, who resides in heaven, holy is your name. I know some people who it's very simple and some people who it's more complex. It just depends on where you've come from, what faith traditions or backgrounds. But you know, prayer at its very essence is a response that acknowledges that God is King, that God is bigger than you, and that in our smallness and in our humility and submission, we reach out to something bigger than us, something that knows more than us, something that loves us in a way that we can't even understand. I mean, prayer for me is the acknowledgement that I don't know what to do right now. I don't understand where the next turn is. I don't see the potholes in the road. But God does. And that through his word, he said that he'll care for those who love him, that he doesn't leave or forsake anybody. I mean, I read through the Bible and all the alls and the everythings and all those. I mean, I'm included in all those things. And so prayer is my response that acknowledges who God is and what God is. So I think first and foremost, when somebody says, well, I don't know how to pray, I oftentimes as a pastor will ask them, who's God? Hmm. And they'll say, well, God is my Father. He's my Father in heaven. I said, well, then talk to him like he's your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think oftentimes when we talk to God, we get sheepish because we don't think about our Father in heaven. We equate it to our Father who is in the next room, or our Father who is absent, our Father who wasn't present, our Father who was maybe very heavy-handed in our homes. You know, we equate our Heavenly Father with our earthly Father, and then we become sheepish in a way that we shouldn't be. I mean, God has thrown the doors open and said, enter into my throne room and speak to me. And so he's your Father. You know, I tell people at your simplest core, you're praying to your dad, your daddy. You call him dad, if that helps. You know, and maybe you just need to say today, dad, I need some peace. Dad, help me with this. You know, the same as you would when you're a little child. I mean, I think it's no coincidence that Jesus treats believers in terms of understanding what they are, he says, like these little children.
Mm-hmm.
These little children who would come up, who like my kids, who will come up and go, Daddy, help me. And my kids will come up and, Daddy, help me make my bed. Daddy, help me get a cup down to get a glass of water. Daddy, help me. You know, my kids don't shirk back from asking their father for help. And yet as adults, we get so haughty that we forget that we can come before our dad in heaven and we can ask him for things. And he gladly throws the cabinet open and gets us a glass for water. He gladly provides for us. Maybe not in ways we always understand, and maybe not right away, you know. Sometimes my son says, Daddy, I want a cookie. Not now. But Daddy, I want a cookie. No. Daddy, I want a cookie. You bet. You've eaten your dinner. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You've been obedient. You bet you can have a cookie. You know, sometimes our dad says yes. Sometimes our dad says no. And sometimes our dad says later.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that God is our Father in heaven, and we can talk to him like our Father. So I think that sometimes we see the expansive nature of God. We see God is so big, and we take the fear of the Lord. And you and I have talked about this many times. We take the fear of the Lord, and we treat it as literal fear, not a fear of, wow, I could lose the greatest relationship in my life. It becomes a physical fear that's binding, like, oh, what will I do? God is going to get me. And God is never going to get you. You know what? Actually, I'll take that back. God does want to get you. He wants to get your heart, and he wants to get your heart because he loves you. He doesn't want to get you because he's got something against you. He wants to get you because you're his. He bought you at a price at Calvary, and he did so long before you were ever born. I mean, I think about in Jeremiah where it says, I have plans to prosper you and grow you. I know who you are. Before you were even in the womb, I knew who you were. And that's the testimony of God for each one of us.
Yeah, and I think some people may be hesitant to approach God, to pray to God, basically just to have a conversation, to talk with him, because they don't know the character of God, how he's full of grace and mercy and love. And I think when you get to know God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, when you get to know that love, then you start to see he is approachable. He is somebody that I can go to, that I can seek after, because he has my best interest in mind, because he knows me, he fashioned me, he cares for me, he brought me about, he breathed life into me, he's given me gifts and abilities. And so I think it's so key to know God's character. Then we can enter into that time of prayer, because he's a good God.
Well, you know what, and I'm going to make an admission here, and I'm going to do so maybe for the good or bad of my pastoral brothers out there. We are not, I'm not the bridgeway to God. I'm not the sole intercessor to God. And oftentimes in churches and religious circles, the pastor or the priest or that person who stands up there in the middle of the room on Sunday morning and gives you the word of God, we somehow feel like he's the bridge. I'm the bridge. I need to go talk to Jason because I need him to talk to God for me. And that's not true. In fact, that's a burden and a weight that none of us as pastors, priests, blah, 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 can bear to burden. We can't carry all of you on our back. And that's why it says in the epistles that you're a royal priesthood. Each one of you have the Holy Spirit which dwells inside of you. You're a temple. You're a place where the Spirit resides. You can talk to God while you're folding laundry, while you're doing your ironing, while you're working at your job, while you're in your car. You can talk to God the same way that you would talk to God in a church on Sunday morning. The reason we gather on Sunday morning is so we can dispel the myth of personal righteousness. Because if we don't gather together with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to start to think that I'm righteous on my own. My way is the right way. My way is the best way. When we gather together in a big room with a bunch of other people who are following Jesus, we realize that it's not about our own personal righteousness. It's about Jesus' perfect righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that we all fall underneath the blood of Jesus. We all fall underneath the shadow of the cross, the work that was done on the cross. So I want to dispel that myth that you can talk to God the same way I can talk to God, and God responds to you the same way he responds to me. I'm no more holy or less holy. I'm a man in the midst of my own sanctification the same as everybody else is. Mm-hmm. And I'm a man in the midst of what it means to follow God the same as you are. God just happens to have called and anointed me to teach and to lead and to shepherd. But it doesn't mean that I'm not any more in the mire with you. We've all got dirt on our shoes.
Before you explain the third P and your three P's with prayer, how about talking a little about, and you know because I already told you before this program, I have like six announcements here, but this is the importance of our conversation.
Whenever
today.
You tell me you have six announcements, that means you have six opportunities that aren't going to happen, because yeah. It almost always does that.
Yeah. So I'm going to hold off on all these announcements, because let's briefly talk about the posture of prayer. Because some people, maybe this whole concept of talking to God, okay, maybe there is a God that loves me, maybe I can entertain that idea, he cares and he wants to hear my struggles or my worship or my prayer, but does it mean I have to fold my hands and bow my head? Does it mean I have to lay down and be prostrate? What are some of the postures of prayer? Or is there a set way to pray?
There isn't. Read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Go through and do a Bible study. There are people who are laying down. There are people who are sitting down. There are people who are kneeling. There are people who are standing up. In the Gospels, the Jewish mode of prayer is standing. The Amidah, or the standing prayers, the prayers that are said at all the Jewish synagogue services, those are prayers that are said standing. That's why we see the tax collector and the Pharisee in Luke, and they're standing and they're praying. Teaching happens in a sitting position. But there is no correct posture of prayer. You know what's correct? Is that you would submit yourself and reach out to the God of the universe, and you would speak and talk with him about the things that are happening in your life. And God wants you to do that because that's submission and humility. That doesn't happen because God needs it to happen. God already knows. I mean, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, God already knows what you need before you even open your mouth. But he wants to hear you talk. He's attentive. I mean, how many times does it say in the Old Testament? It says it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says it in Nehemiah that God is attentive and he hears the prayers of his people and he answers the prayers of his people. It says, I love it in Chronicles where it says, my ears will be attentive and my eyes will be looking in the prayers offered in this place. And then I will answer and I'll heal your land. Well, you know what? Your land is huge. It could be expansive. Geographic could be the United States. It could be Muhammad. It could be White Heath. It could be the property that Mark resides on. It could be Mark himself could be that land. Maybe Mark's land needs to be healed. I don't know, but it does.
Hey, I'll take any kind of healing.
I'll take any bit of divine intervention. But I mean, there is no posture of prayer. And any system that seeks to tell us that there is only one way to pray is trying to put God in some sort of box that God isn't resident. Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 6. He says, you can't put God in a box.
I like one practice that I can't remember if it was Restoration Urban Ministry, but we walked around the neighborhood and we prayed with our eyes open. And the theme, the concept was, look at opportunities. And if you see a woman over there maybe not dressed well, pray for economic help for that family, or pray if you see broken glass somewhere, pray that, you know, the health of the environment or the situation, or you just look for things and just pray and keep your eyes open. And I mean, there's just so many different ways to pray.
Yeah, there's a pastor in California, Irwin McManus, and he would always pray. He tells the story. He says, I would always pray with my eyes closed because I was taught as a kid that that was reverent, to pray with my eyes closed because I couldn't look at the glory of God. And he says, I was preaching in a very impoverished and low-income neighborhood, and there had been a gentleman which we had turned away because he had come multiple times for help, financial help. We helped him a few times, but we realized that he was just buying drugs with the money. So we told him we couldn't help him. We were not going to give you any more money because we know what's happening with the money. So the man went away very angry. So Irwin McManus goes on to say, I was leading a church service, and I was praying as normal with my eyes closed, and he said, I hit my foot against one of the speakers on the stage. And when I hit my foot on there, my natural inclination was to open my eyes. He said, I opened my eyes as that man charged the stage with a knife. And he said, right away, I realized that God had had me stub my toe because it was divine protection. God was having me open my eyes. And he goes, and at the same time, God opened my eyes to show me that how I thought I needed to pray wasn't how I should have prayed. That there was, it was a multitude of ways that I could have prayed. And he said that praying with my – so he goes on to say, he goes, if somebody charges the stage with a knife one time, you'll pray with your eyes open all the time. So it's kind of a funny story.
Well, and I know sometimes the concept maybe of closing our eyes is so we're not distracted by various things. So I would hope that as you would begin maybe anew – or maybe even this very day, and I'm all about application. So, hey, listener, I'm speaking to you. Let's increase our time with God by just praying. And so,
so there's one more P.
Yes, so let's go to number three.
So we have pray incessantly, practically serve. The last P is to persevere, the perseverance of the saints. Because when you start to pray, you're going to get tired, you're going to get worn out, you're going to have distractions. You're going to need to persevere. And you know how you persevere? By praying incessantly and practically serving. The more you serve people, the more you'll persevere. The more you pray, the more you'll persevere. The last one feeds the first two and is fed by the first two. And the reason I brought up the whole 3P thing is this is why I would do it. Because you said, Mark, hey, we just don't know how that message touched people, what happened. We just don't know. This is what I would say, is that there's probably a big slice of people listening right now out there who know Jesus like crazy. You guys are radically in love with Jesus. You guys follow him. You read his word. You share him wherever you're at. And I would say this, every single one of you who is radically in love with Jesus, you have somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus at all. And you know what they need? They need you to begin to pray for them, that they would come to know Jesus. They need you to then practically serve them, to show them what the hands of Jesus look like when they're at work. And then you know what? They need you to persevere with them because they're going to be stiff-necked. They're going to be hard-hearted. The people of Israel were that way all through the Bible. The Bible's replete with people who are stiff-necked, hard-hearted, who have their eyes closed, who need to see the light, but they don't.
Which is all of us sometimes on a daily
all
basis.
All of us in some way. But these people need you to pray incessantly for them. Lord, let them come to know who you are. Practically serve them. Hey, I brought you some cookies. I just wanted to write a little note real quick and send it off to you. Some way that you can practically encourage them, to let them know that Jesus is here and now, and he practically serves his people. And then persevere with them, because it's going to be hard. You're going to hit your head up against the wall multiple times and go, Lord, will they ever understand? And the Lord says, yep.
Well, I'm laughing, Jason. I'm just thinking you and I were going to dedicate this whole program about talking about Israel and our trip coming up in March. And then I had my six or seven announcements here, and it just seemed like God took us a whole different direction. So I would hope, and I'm going to ask you to close our time in prayer in just a minute. But
your announcements, because then I'll feel real bad.
Yeah. No, but I want to make sure, because we talk so much about prayer, we got to close with prayer. But this Friday is Rabbi Jesus. You're all welcome. This is a community-wide Bible study, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church. We're going to be studying the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's open to everyone, and I hope you'd come out, because we'll open in prayer, we'll close in prayer, and we'll have some good Bible teaching and great fellowship along the way. I guess I'm going to hold off on all these. We have a lot of activities and other events coming up. Globetrotters are tomorrow. If you want to purchase $7 discounted tickets, You can call the Assembly Hall, a special number, and talk with Rose, 217-333-5404. Oh, all these other things are coming up. I can mention them next week. So, Jason, how about closing in prayer? Again, we have a wide range of listeners. Some may be far from God. Some may be never even entertaining. They could have a faith journey with Him. And then the senior saints are those of us that try to walk faithfully each and every day and have our challenges and hurdles and just want to do the best, especially in this new year. So how about covering maybe all those categories?
Oh, well, that's it, huh?
Yeah. So, that's it. Simply said, easy project.
Wow. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in you we can find peace and we can find rest, we can find comfort, that Jesus, you're the place that we can come to and we can sit down, and that the wiles and cares and craziness of the world, though they may touch us, we'll see it differently, and we'll feel it differently, and we'll know it differently, and we'll do all that through you. And we thank you that, as Scripture says, that you came down and you knocked down the wall. And boy, most of us, all of us, have walls that need knocking down. And the promise of God through the Scripture, Jesus, is that you came and you knocked down those walls. And you did so because you wanted to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near, those who know you today and those who are far and don't know you, but maybe are asking the question deep in their heart, who is this Jesus? And we know, Jesus, you want to answer that. And it says you came and you preached peace to those who were far and those who were near, and all had access. All, that's every single one of us. That's you and me and those of us who are out in the distance and those of us who are very close had access to the Father through one Spirit. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to remind us of your great love, of the great price that you paid. And when you paid it, that you knew each of our names. Jesus, I think sometimes on the cross you uttered, maybe subconsciously without even knowing it, each one of our names, that you were paying and buying a price for each one of us. You were making a way for each one of us, that you were creating redemption for each one of us and salvation, a way into the kingdom of God that we didn't even know. Jesus, I thank you that while we were still stumbling and blind, you cast a great light through your work on the cross that ushered us into the kingdom of God. And that for all that work, Jesus, all you ask us for is a yes. Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus. And so I pray that many would say yes today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And I would pray that you would just get to know God's character today, because it'll compel you to want to pray and get to know Him better. And if something that was said or shared today has maybe warmed your heart, there are trained counselors that you can contact right now with this 800 number. Or Jason and I would be happy to talk with you and help you navigate through your faith journey. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. God's very best to you, and we'll be praying for you. Please be praying for this radio ministry. Have a great day.